You're listening to the Missional Marketing Podcast, a show for church leaders, church communications professionals, and ministry volunteers. Our goal is to help your church grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications.
What will work against you is when you're a hard worker. What I mean by that is when you're a hard worker, they can count on you. They're going to give you more. Maybe not more salary, but more responsibility, more hats to wear.
Welcome to episode number 186 of the Missional Marketing Podcast. Bart Blair and Jason Hamrock here with you today. Good day, Jason.
Hey, Bart. How's it going today, my friend?
I'm doing very well. For the sake of full disclosure, I have been on about 4 or 5 straight hours of Zoom calls before you and I got in here to record this. And you were just coming off of a little mini vacation. So words may come easily or words may not come easily. But hey, here we are once again, recording another podcast episode because we are committed to helping churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. We spend a lot of time doing that all day, every day. And so for those of you who have joined us maybe here for the very first time, thanks for tuning in. We've been producing this podcast since the year of 2020, the year of our Lord 2020. We did really well in those first few years, releasing almost a podcast every single week. We've slowed down a little bit, but we are on the horse. And that's right. We're really excited to share a few things. Jason, if you're watching on our YouTube channel, Jason's going to hold something up for you and give you a little look at something. I've got one too. I'll hold mine up. Jason and I have just published a book together called Reaching the One, A Guide to Digital Outreach and Evangelism for the Local Church. We have taken many, many, many of the learnings that we have acquired in working with churches, and a lot of people have taught us many things on this podcast, a lot of guests, and we have synthesized a book that we hope will help you as a church leadership team, as a communications director, whatever seat you sit in the church. We hope that it will help you reach more people for Jesus.
Amen.
You have anything to add there, Jason?
No, I love the focus of this book, and that's really what the focus of the local church should be, is to love God and love people. And we love people in many, many different ways. We serve our community. We serve the needy. We serve each other. So our job is to love God, love people, and go and make disciples. Pretty easy to understand. Somewhat hard to do because we kind of get lost in things, don't we, Big C Church? Yep. So we really wanted to simplify, keep the main thing. Love God, love people, and make disciples. So this book really does a good job of sort of steering you towards proven ways and methods on how you can accomplish that. And no doubt if you follow what Bart and I talk about, you're going to be like, oh, I've heard them say that. Yep. Mm-hmm. Because it's all in the book. And get yourself a copy.
Yeah. If you happen to have been to any of our live roadshow events with Jason and myself or our colleague, Zach, a lot of the stuff that we do at the roadshows, as far as the outreach piece, is included in the book. For many of you, maybe you don't live anywhere near where you can attend a roadshow, pick up a copy of the book. It's available on Amazon. We'll link to it in the show notes of this episode. But hey, I'm going to give another caveat here. If you are planning to attend the Church Communications Conference in September, don't buy a book, because we're going to give you a copy of the book. And for those of you who have not yet made a commitment to attend the Church Communications Conference in September, well, here's one more reason why you should attend the conference. You can spend all the money you need to fly to Kansas City and spend a few days with us. We'll give you a copy of the book. We're really excited about this. We're excited about the conference. Jason, share a little bit more about the conference and what's happening in September.
Oh, really pumped about it. We are going to be together in Kansas City at Abundant Life Church in Kansas City, September 23rd, 24th, 25th. So the early evening of September 23rd, all day on the 24th, in the morning of the 25th. So it gives you time to kind of fly in on a Wednesday, fly it back out on a Friday. But I'll tell you, our time together is going to be really fruitful. I'm excited about our keynote speakers, but I'm also really excited about our breakouts this year. We've come up with a little different strategy. I've heard from you guys. So this is a result of getting feedback as we pivoted. The breakouts, there's going to be 6 breakouts, and we're going to break them out into the size of church that you are working in. And so all the colleagues around you in your breakout are going to be of similar size of your church. So that's one cool thing, because you want to rub shoulders with other people that are in the same seat that you are with another different size church. Like you, that's the people you want to build relationships with. Then the second part of that is we're tailoring all the content in the breakouts to your size of church. So we have heard many of you for different sizes want to go deeper into different topics. That's what we're going to do in the breakout. So it's going to be really relevant to you on the size of the church you have. And I'm pumped about it. Abundant Life is a great church. It's in the Johnson County campus. They're a multi-campus church, and they have a great facility. We're pumped about it.
And our keynote speakers, in addition to you, Mr. Hamrock, are Phil Cook and Sally Guillory, both of whom have been on our podcast. Sally only once. Phil, I don't know, four or five times. Phil's a good friend, and we're really excited about having both of them as keynote speakers. It's going to be a great time. And you know, one of the biggest benefits about attending either a roadshow or the Church Communications Conference really is the connections that you will make with other people who are in the trenches of church communications. Our topic today on this episode is comms director burnout. There's a lot to be said about burnout in ministry. And I have my own burnout story. I was a worship pastor. I wasn't a comms director, but I had a season. I didn't realize at the time, this was back in the early to mid 2000s. People weren't talking about ministry burnout back then as much as they are today. And I went through a real significant sort of mental health, I'll just call it a pit for a season. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to label it. It wasn't until I was actually years past it that I realized what it was. But in ministry, this is a common thing, because we drive ourselves so hard. We set such high expectations for ourselves. We want to serve Jesus so well. And those of us who are involved in any kind of ministry that's related to the weekend worship services, whether that is communications or preaching or worship or what have you, there's always a Sunday coming, and you live with that pressure. You live with that intense, constant routine and rhythm and schedule. And so today, Jason and I want to talk. We're going to talk through a few things that we hope may be an encouragement to you in your communications role. Maybe that's only part of the role that you serve in your church, which is also another reason why you may experience burnout, because you might be wearing 11 hats. And if you're wearing 11 hats, it can definitely affect you, your mental health, your emotional health, your spiritual health, your family, your performance at work, all kinds of things. We're not doctors. We're just people who've been in ministry and have gone really, really hard at it. And we want to be an advocate for those of you who are listening to this episode. So here's a key point in today's episode. And then I'm going to start asking you questions, Jason, because I've not sat in the comms director role uniquely like you have. But here's a statement that I believe is true that sort of sets the stage for what is often burnout. And that is that the communications director is often the only person in the building who sees every single deadline, every single request, and every single gap in systems and processes. Like I just had a call with a church a few minutes ago today, and the comms director in that church was telling me about some systems and things being broken in their church, and he's really the only person who sees a lot of the breakdown in a lot of their systems, right? And so you wear a lot of pressure there. So Jason, why don't we talk a little bit about some specific things? Let's talk a little bit first about what scope creep is. You talk about this a lot. Scope creep, the volume of work, just that one more thing culture that happens in churches. We got one more thing, just one more thing. Speak to that a little bit.
Well, I didn't really have burnout. I had fatigue. And it just, because this thing is cyclical, right? We do the same stuff kind of over and over and over again. And it changes. Sermon series change and an event will change. But it's the season after season after season. And you're absolutely right where I saw everything. I saw the highs and the lows. But I saw the gaps that we had. And I think one of the things that as it listen, it doesn't matter if you're a comms team of one or you lead a comms team of 8 or 9 people, you're still vulnerable to this problem where there you see the holes in the systems. And I think the hardest part for a comms director, and it kind of depends on what level of leadership do you fall in. Are you at the top with the level of leaders, or are you down low and you serve an executive pastor who never lets you in the room where they're making big decisions, right? That matters. I'm always advocating for you to be at that table because you need to hear what all the leadership is saying about what's going on in and out of the church. But I think it's a good topic conversation because if you don't focus on making changes, you will burn out. I talk to so many comm directors where I feel like I'm a therapist, mm-hmm. and I'm helping them. I'm answering their questions or I'm giving them advice, and it always comes back to hard conversations that you need to have sometimes. Hard conversations. And I'll tell you, what will work against you is when you're a hard worker. What will work against you is when you're a hard worker. What I mean by that is when you're a hard worker, they can count on you. They're going to give you more. Maybe not more salary, but more responsibility, more hats to wear. I'm a victim of that. I always wanted to work hard. I wanted to prove myself. I wanted to win for the team. It was all about pointing people to Jesus and helping make him famous. And as I would do that, I found myself in more, we're doing more, and my budgets are growing, and my staff is growing, and my responsibilities are growing. And I didn't manage that very well. Because first of all, there was no blueprint. We were finding our way through it. And I found myself fatigued to the point where I'm like, I'm not healthy. And I've got a little sticky note on my monitor. Bart knows what I'm going to say. And it says, what you're not changing, you're choosing. What you're not changing, you're choosing. If you're choosing to stay burnt out, if you're choosing the systems you're in, that's on you. And so, I think there's a lot of a good that can come from this conversation because there's a lot of people right now listening going, yeah, I can identify with that.
Let's expand on just one concept there, and that is the propensity for the bucket to be full and more to be put in the bucket, right? So you got an overflowing task list, more things that you can get done. Let's talk about setting boundaries or permission to say no, or permission to say I can't make that a priority, right? I think that's one of the challenges for me. And I had somebody share this with me in ministry a long time ago, which was if I'm asked to do something that's really just filling my plate with more and more stuff, is to probably go back and ask the question about let's look at everything that I have on my plate right now. And if you want me to accomplish this thing that you're now giving me, can you point at the things that I have on my list that need to move to the back burner because I can't get them all done and I can't get them all done meeting the deadlines as well as you're expecting me or we're all expecting those things to get done, right? I can't do it as well. The quality is going to suffer. How would you, have you ever been in a situation like that where you're like, okay, I've got 8 hours in the day. I've got 10 hours worth of work. What am I going to give up? Saying yes to one thing is saying no to something else, right? It almost has to be. So how do you navigate those boundary conversations?
That's such a, I love the English language. No is a complete sentence. Mm. That's hard, right? Because we have friends that we serve alongside our friends and we just don't say no to them and walk away. But I do think at the roadshow, I teach tiers. It's tiers. Not everything is equal. Not everything has the same value in our roles, right? If you get a ministry coming, you go, I need this done. And you're going, how do I? Yeah, but my lead pastor's coming in here telling me they want this. You know, what do I do? Well, you go to the lead. You have tiers. You focus. You figure that out. Who's at the top of the list to the bottom of the list? That's okay to do that. It doesn't mean they're not important. It just allows you to have priority on who you're serving first, second, third, fourth. Your question isn't, well, how big of an impact is this going to make? Or is this really needed? Your question should be, okay, if I'm going to do this, and you guys think I should be doing this, hey, boss, you want me to do this. I'm not going to question how much of the needle it moves. I'm going to question, how do I fit this in? Okay, because you've come down and said, hey, we really want you to do this, whatever project is. And you kind of look at that and go, I just can't see how that's really relevant. Well, it could be really, really relevant. I mean, just on the top of my head, a lot of churches will have, they don't really know this, but they've got their top level givers are sometimes grouped into a certain category. And this was for, and I wanted to do things that were going to help our lead pastor reach and help our top level givers move along. Sometimes they're like legacy givers or whatever. Small percentage of the room, right? But huge impact when you're working with them. As an example of going, hey, I'm not here to question what it is you want me to do. I'm here to question, how am I going to get this all in with excellency? And so it is important to understand, first of all, the tiers, okay? But it's also second to understand, you're not here to say no to people, even though you want to say no to people, but you do want to give them a realistic expectation. And so we always joke around, right? We have the nifty knitters back in our, the nifty knitters are getting together and they're love on one another and they're knitting things. And you go, yeah, that's not a very big part of the room, but it's important. It's important to them. Just go ask them. Mm-hmm. It's important to them. But it doesn't mean they get the same level as everybody else. And if you don't have the margins and you can't have that conversation with your boss to say, I need a pecking order of what I get done and how I get done, you need to help me move the puzzle pieces around because I can't fit it all in. That's not just being vulnerable. It's actually being wise. You are paid a fee, right? You're paid a salary that the people at the church give. And so you got to be a good steward of that. And I don't think sometimes we think about that. You've got to be a good steward and look to your leadership to help you steward that well. Because you do have gifts and talents, but just because you're the youngest person doesn't mean you're the social media expert. I don't know much about social media, right? You could just, if you're in your late 20s or 30s, you're the comm director, you're supposed to be the expert. Well, maybe you are, maybe you're not. So you need to have those conversations with your leadership to say, tell me how I'm going to move the pieces of the puzzle so this all fits together and I'm not burning out or getting fatigued. I need help. And yeah. Those are just vulnerable conversations.
Yeah, there's a couple of ways when you look at your workload, a couple of ways that I would probably try to evaluate things. And I think part of it is definitely related to the priorities of the senior leadership and the senior leadership team, right? So you definitely want to prioritize those things. And then secondly, it is sort of a prioritization of things that are going to give the greatest ROI in ministry movement, because not everything that you're spending your time on is equal. We have this conversation a lot. You bring up social media. Social media is important, but social media probably doesn't return on the investment to the degree to which a lot of churches might expect that it would. And so, we categorize the audiences that you're trying to reach. Your ring one, your ring two, your ring three. Ring one are the people who are already part of your church. Ring two are people in your community who are actively looking for a church. Ring three are people who are in your community that are not actively looking for a church, but they're trying to solve a problem on the internet, and your church may have ministry connection points that could help them solve those problems. Where you're going to feel the most pressure most of the time is ring one, right? Because the ring two and the ring three people don't complain to you on Tuesday or Thursday or, one day of the week about not knowing what they're supposed to know when they're supposed to know it. Ring one does. And so, yes, there is going to end up almost always being a prioritization for ring one, that internal communication, which is a big part of the reason that we wrote the book that we wrote, Reaching the One. Because we want you to be able to equally prioritize the lost person who needs to be reached while also balancing the internal communications that you have as a church, which keeps your church on track and healthier and accomplishing its mission. Let's talk a little bit, Jason, about just a strategy or some things that a person might do. You've got a pastor or executive pastor or a creative director or somebody that you in the comms role, you report to. You're having a challenge getting them to see that you need to set some sort of boundaries, that you don't have this limitless bandwidth for the workload. I don't think most pastors, most leaders are not trying to overload their staff. They're not trying to overload their team. A lot of times they simply don't genuinely don't understand what the work entails. They don't know when they give you this job to do exactly how much time it's going to take. And so what would you do if you were going to need to kind of report back to your leadership team on the way that you're utilizing your time? Like, how would you document things? What kinds of things would you be measuring? What kind of, you know, feedback would you be giving to your leadership team in terms of the way that you're using your time?
That's so good. Really, everybody needs to lean in and pay attention. Because when I got going, I wasn't documenting anything. We were just kind of doing the things and going along, and I had no legs to stand on when somebody said, "Well, why can't you fit it in?" "Well, I don't know. I'm busy. What do you got? What are you working on?" "Well, I could name a few things, but I couldn't name everything." So I got smart. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. So I had to fail a lot, and I failed forward. So we started documenting everything. And at the kind of the peak of our team, which was the last 4 or 5 years of when I was on as a comm director, we had anywhere from 50 to 60 projects going on at any given time. We were a busy church, 50 to 60 projects every single week. And we would keep track of this on the spreadsheet. And we would keep track of every project, when it came in, when it got completed, and all the notes in between. And I've also asked my team to track their hours, including myself. Pain in the butt. But I wanted to get an idea of how much time has this taken, y'all? And that was so important for me, because I was able to tell my boss, here's the picture of what we're growing into. I need your help, either prioritizing, or I need you guys to work with the ministries that they can't just give everything to us expecting overnight. We are not 24/7, Kinkos that can get it in 24 hours. We can't do that. We need to have margin and bandwidth. And I couldn't do that until I proved to them, we got a lot going on. And by the way, I think that was also a good thing to look in the mirror to say, am I really working a solid 40 hours, right? Am I really being strategic with my time? Again, being a good steward, because I'm getting paid a wage. I don't just report to my boss. I report to our congregation, in a sense, right? You're holding me responsible to do what I've been hired to do. So, start tracking your time. You find some kind of a time management tool. It's really easy these days. It's not hard. And I don't think it has to be to the minute, but it's like, today I worked on these six things, right? And I had these three meetings. And you just start to lock in on what it is you and your team does. And I think that'll help you a lot when you go to leadership going, help me. I need some help. I do not want you to walk in there going, I need help, without any kind of documentation to back up why you need help. I had to prove to my boss why I wanted specific budget increases for specific things that we wanted to do as a team. I didn't just walk into his office going, hey, can you bump up my thing by like 25%? No, I had to paint the picture of why I want that much money and what I'm going to do with it and what I think the ROI is going to be on it. And so everything was documented. But guys, I did not do this from day one. I failed over and over again and finally figured out, I better get my act together. I wish I had Claude. Oh my goodness. Oh my. You don't have it easy now.
Yeah. So there are all kinds of time recording, time keeping, project management tools. When I was doing more agency work, I used one called Harvest. I'm sure it's still out there. I think there's a free tier. You can add multiple projects into it. And then while you're working on those projects, you just set the timer. And when you're finished on that project, you stop. And you know exactly how much time you're tracking on it week after week, month after month. In the business world, there's a terminology that's used. It's cost of goods sold. The cost of goods sold is what does it actually cost the company to make, market, and deliver this particular product? Because based on what the cost of that product is, that's how much the company knows they need to market up in order to make money when they're selling it, right? In the church space, especially in creative, I would say we should have this thing called cost of project completed. So here's an example. Your church is going to do mailers, or let me break it down. Your church is going to do, you're going to run Facebook ads for your fall kickoff this fall. And you are responsible for the Facebook ads. And here's the conversation you're going to have is, what's my budget? And they're going to say, you have $1,000 to spend on Facebook ads. And you're going to go, great, I've got $1,000. But that's not the true cost of the project completed. Because you need to factor in your time in designing the ads, building and monitoring the ad campaigns, building the landing page on the website. And so you've got all these other components to complete this project. It's not just having a $1,000 budget for the Facebook ads. It's $1,000 for the Facebook ads, plus all the creative and the management work that you're putting into it. So in the end, this $1,000, you know, Facebook campaign is costing your church a lot more. If you're not tracking those things, then your executive pastor, your lead pastor, they really don't know, right? And so when you start working on multiple projects, I mean, I can't tell you how many times, Jason, we talk to churches that that will build a website in-house. You know, they're going to build a WordPress website or a Squarespace website, and they're going to do it in-house.
They think
and they think it's the cheaper route of doing it, but in reality, your salary that you're getting paid is costing your church, because every minute you spend working on building and designing and the creative and all the work on the website, the copywriting, pulling the images, optimizing videos, all the stuff that you're doing, now optimizing for AI, assuming you're doing that because you got to be able to do that. Yep. That's all time spent on a website that can't be spent doing all the other things and meeting all the other deadlines and deliverables that you have. So you're just piling on. You're just piling on. So I think, you know, tracking time is huge. Knowing exactly how much it's going to take, how much time it's going to take you to finish certain projects and complete different things is really important as you start talking to your leadership team about what you're actually spending your time and your energies on.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, start with that weekly thing you do. And really, like a weekly email newsletter that goes out to the congregation, okay? Oh, that's free, Jason. No, it's not. Because it took you time to have meetings. It took time to pull that together. You might have had to have the kids ministry write something up. That wasn't 0 minutes. That probably took 30 minutes. You start to realize how much time it takes to do something on a weekly basis. Now you can start to organize your thoughts on, wow, it takes us about like 6 or 7 hours, I'm making that up, to actually put together and send out a weekly email newsletter. Is that a good return on investment? And the answer might be yes. But now you know, okay, we're going to do that every week. We know that that is 10% or 15 or 20% of my time. Next. Like, you do that with all your weekly projects, you start to realize, wow, there's a lot of things we probably do that don't really move the needle that much. And we call those sacred cows. And they're all over the church. They're all over the church.
Jason, I had a call with a church last week. The comms director told me that they have an administrative person on their staff who 75% of her time every week is spent putting together a printed bulletin book that gets handed out at church every week. I'm looking at that. I'm thinking, okay, let's assume I'm throwing a number out here. $15 an hour for this person. I don't know, $20 an hour. I have no idea what you pay this person. I'll use, you know, easy numbers. $20 an hour is $800 a week. It's $40,000 a year. If all the church is looking at,
It probably takes more other people's time to pull that together.
And if all the church is looking at is the cost of printing the bulletin, not the time that the person is spending on it, that bulletin just became a very, very expensive line item for the church. But because in the church space, we tend to not look at things like we do in the business world, you don't put all those, you don't connect all those dots, and you don't, it doesn't all make sense that way.
So if you really want to move, if you go, Jason, I know we can do better. I know we can go further. You've got to start with just the basics of understand what it takes to get the job done.
Yeah.
And lean on Claude or ChatGPT, whatever you use, to help you out with this, right? Or reach out to Bart, myself. We can have one-on-one calls with y'all. Because this stuff really matters, because the only way you're going to improve and change, right, for better is to actually wrap your arms around what you currently do and help leadership understand, oh, I had no idea it took that much time. Wow, maybe we do need to rethink that. And I'll tell you, we did that at Central. We had this thing, Central this week. It was a 11 by 17 stuff on every, it was full of information. We ended up killing it because it took so much time and so much money and energy. And it didn't really help any. I mean, it's just those people that when we got rid of it, we had like a handful of people that complained. You know what? They already can find stuff anyway. So it's just, wasn't worth all the effort.
Let's move to sort of a concluding thought on this episode. And I certainly hope this has been helpful. I think the biggest takeaway so far has been, hey, you've got to be able to create boundaries for yourself. You've got to back up your request for boundaries with some actual data. What are you spending your time on? What's taking the most time? And then let your leadership team help you evaluate how to best leverage your time for the things that are going to be viewed by the leadership team as the most critical, the most important. Everything in the church is important, but not everything is of equal importance. Everything Correct. In the church is important, but not everything is urgent, right? And so we have to manage these things. But here, let's talk about this. Diagnosing the problem in terms of why things take the amount of time that they do will help you get the right solution. And I've put some bullet points down here. You and I kind of talked through these before we even started recording. Sometimes the issues are systems problems. Yeah. You don't have the right system. You don't have the right request form. You don't have the right project management tool. You don't have a system in place that allows you to be efficient. I know you're really big on communication systems. Yeah. Any comments or thoughts on that, Jason?
Well, yeah. I mean, not only do you want to investigate what you're not changing, you're choosing. Not only do you want to investigate the systems, the tools you're using, you also want to investigate the time that people are submitting things. And by the way, you don't want to champion that by yourself. Don't do that. Don't think that you can go in and sell everybody, hey, I've got a new system and this is what I want done. You are not that important. Don't think of yourself as that. You will create enemies. Instead, go to your boss and say, hey, boss, whoever that is, will you take a look at this? Will you speak into it? Will you get the whole leadership team, whatever size of church that is, and will you have those guys bless this? Speak into it and then rubber stamp and bless it to tell the whole staff, hey, we got a new system here about communications and, you know, Bart here is our comm director. He's asked us to help, so we've spoken into it. We are blessing it from now on. Here it is. Bart, you want to explain what the new system is? You want that. You want to have your leadership be the leaders to speak into it. It could be a system problem, right? Or it could be you have a good problem, but you're a good system, but nobody's following the rules. Now you got a bigger problem. You got to go get it blessed from the top down.
Yep. Yeah. If systems are broken or you don't have a system at all, things are naturally going to take more time and it's going to create way more pressure and way more anxiety for you to be able to deliver the things you need to deliver. Second point that I wrote down here is that sometimes I think the problem could be that you need to develop certain skills to be better at doing certain things. And you should know this. Like you should know, you know, if your gifting is not in visual design and graphic design, and it's going to take you longer to do the graphic design, you got to do one of two things. You either have to take some courses or do some training and develop that skill, or you need to find someone else who can do it, whether it's in-house or out-of-house. Same thing with like website management, web development. I mean, I can't tell you, Jason, I mean, you know, we're big advocates of WordPress websites.
Yeah.
There are so few comms directors in churches that are fluent in really being able to update, build, and do work in WordPress, yet that falls on their plate. Guess what? You either need to take a course, take some training, do something that helps you enhance that skill, get better at it, so that something that might take you 2 hours now can only take you 45 minutes. You can buy some of your time back by doing some training, or you need to find somebody else who can do it for you, a volunteer, a part-time staff member, or an agency or somebody out of house, right? But skill set, I think, does make a big difference.
It does. And it's okay to say, I don't know how to do this. You know, sometimes we mask that. You know, we were the comm director. We should know this. Like, you were born as a comm director. Come on. And things change so much in our world. Thank goodness the Bible doesn't change. Because yeah. that'd be a problem, right? But our world with technology, it changes regularly. So by the time you master something, it's changed. So now you got to spend your time keeping up with all the change. Right. So you really need to ask yourself, is this something that I could easily outsource, or is this something I have to own? I'm the comm director. There's only so many things that I can do versus outsourcing. So you got to ask yourself that, even though I have a passion to learn websites. Yeah, but there's only you have to come to the meetings when it talks to the ministries, or you have to go to the leadership and explain what's going on, or you have to come up with that strategy for how we're going to promote Fall Fest. You can't outsource that, but right. you can outsource those things like web and maybe even social media or writing or whatever it might be. You can outsource that. So just know your boundaries, know what you want to do versus what you have to do.
Yeah. Everybody that I know that's ever come into a church communications role, I shouldn't say everyone, but a high percentage, have come in because they have a unique skill.
Yeah.
That is used by a comms director. Maybe it's graphic design, or maybe it's copywriting, or maybe it's project management, or maybe it's creative. But they've got one lane in which they're super, super talented and super gifted. And then they get into the role and realize there's all these other pieces that they have to do. And maybe they can do them. Maybe they're a fast learner, or maybe not. But you have to really do a hard evaluation of, you know, and this will go back to, you're tracking the work that you're doing. You can look at it and see. You know, when it comes to things like copywriting, you if you're not using AI, you know, to do your copywriting now, it'll save you so much time, right? Oh, there's some great tools that can help you with that, like Church Copy. One of our partners, like a company called Church Copy, where you can get all of your copy written. That'll save you some time. It's not necessarily, I guess it's outsourcing to our artificial intelligence. Sermon short clips, right? Using AI tools like Sermon Shots or Opus Clip or something like that, rather than editing video clips manually. There are some things that you can, you know, find AI to help you with. You know, another thing that I mentioned is, and we talk about this on this podcast a lot, is incorporating volunteers into your workflow. I think sometimes we think that the volunteers need to be creative, that they're photographers or graphic designers or web people or whatever. Sometimes you can just use highly administrative people on your team, especially if administration is not your gift. So if part of the problem could be that you just don't have a strong system and you don't have strong administrative gifts, you needed somebody on your team who's administrative, and maybe there's a volunteer that you could get for 2 or 4 hours a week that could help you manage projects and coordinate things and organize stuff and make phone calls or send emails or whatever that you might need help with. But a couple of well-trained, well-informed volunteers can actually reduce a lot of pressure from you as the comms director.
And I'll tell you, that is key. And don't think that, I'm going to build my ministry on volunteers. That's not smart, because this stuff is every single week that you typically have to do things. And I'll tell you, a lot of advice I give is sometimes you get a volunteer and you find these guys are really good. You might want to turn them into a little bit of a paid person. Here's what I mean by that. I go to the church I go to. Part of my serving is Sunday afternoon, I go pick up the A-frame signs. Takes me all of 30 minutes, right? I'm not going to go to my contact at the church and say, you know, I've been doing this a lot, because I've been doing it for over 5 years. It's about time I get paid for this, right? It's 30 minutes of my time. Not one, Sunday afternoon, not a very big deal. Okay. And I have the, I can do it anytime Sunday afternoon. But if I had, if you got a volunteer that did something every day, that's a pretty big pull on a volunteer, right? Because they've got a life and a job and family and all that kind of stuff going on. But you might find, wow, I don't want to let you go. You're so good at it. You're doing it twice a week. And instead of asking that, you might want to say, can I pivot you to a just a small stipend paid position? You know, even if it's like, I got to get this job done because I can't do it. I don't have that giftedness. It would be too much time on me, but it has to be done. Then that might be a good candidate for somebody that turns into that very, very, very part-time position. And I've seen that play out over different churches that I've worked with. And that's worked out really well because you're wanting to honor that person and bless that person. But if you keep asking them to do so much, eventually they're gonna burn out.
Yeah.
But if they're paid, that might be a little bit of differently. So I be careful with that. But I also think it's one of those things where you find talented people, you want to hold on to them. You know, and it's okay to move them to a higher level of engagement on your team.
I don't know how Sun Valley would ever replace you as the A-frame guy. I just don't know how that would ever happen.
It's never going to happen. I love my job.
Here, the A-frame picker-upper. Okay, last point here, and you kind of hit on this a little bit, yep. Which is looking to hire part-time support or hiring an agency, going out of house. I mean, obviously, you know, shameless plug for Missional Marketing. We are an agency that a lot of churches engage with us to run ad campaigns for them or to do SEO or GEO work for them. We do a lot of coaching and consulting, sometimes short-term, temporary coaching. You and I were just talking before we started recording about a couple of different churches that are basically hiring us for some very specific short-term training. We want you to work with us on something for 3 or 4 months and, you know, you're just going to pay a monthly fee for our time over the course of those few months so that we can help you move the ball from one end of the field to the next in one specific area. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that don't have to be ongoing. You just need to hire somebody that you trust, somebody that is going to add value and somebody who has a skill set that offsets what you really can't do. And I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, I think that's where our success organizationally has been that we can help churches identify what we can do that you could probably do, but you don't have the time to do. And so it just makes more sense for you to bring us on as a partner to work with you in doing that. And the best compliment that we ever get from any church is when they say we simply they view us as a part of their team, just an expanded part of their team. And that's what we would want to do. And if you're going to look to hire any agency or outsource any work like that, that's what you should be doing. You shouldn't just go and hire a faceless company with no personality that doesn't know and understand the church space. You should find a partner that will really invest in your ministry, even though you're paying them to do that. You want them to love and want the success for your ministry the same way that you do.
Yeah, and I think we'll land the plane with this. So we're talking about you not burning out or getting fatigued, and the question I would ask you if we had a conversation is, have you read the book, Patrick Lencioni's book, The Six Working Geniuses? That'd be my question to you, because I'd say, what are your geniuses? What has God gifted you with that you love? I mean, when you do this task, oh, I could do it all day long, forever and ever and ever. But when I do that task, I want to pull my hair out and just like, you know, throw something against the wall.
Yep.
Okay. If your job is living over there where you're having this stuff where you have to throw, you just are going nuts, you're out in 6 months to a year, you'll quit.
Yeah.
But if you're living in your genius, you're never working a day of your life. So my question is, what's your working genius? Go buy that book, The Six Working Geniuses, for Patrick Lencioni, and then take the little test. It's like $25. Take the test so you can find out what your working genius is. That will speak a lot into who you are as a person and the gifting and the talents that God has given you, and how then you can measure that up against what you're doing in your day job, and see if there's alignment there or not.
Yeah, it's a good book. We've gone through it as a team, and I've been through it with a lot of people in ministry, and it is a good tool. I personally, it's not the stuff that makes me want to pull my hair out. I don't have any hair anyway, but it's not the stuff that makes me. It's the stuff I avoid, right? It's the you've got 10 things to do, And there's like number four or five on the list is outside of your working genius. It's a working frustration. And so you just keep pushing it further and further down the list and you don't accomplish it.
Yeah.
So Shay, you know, there's a plug for Patrick Lencioni, who does not pay us to
he probably
promote
should.
His books on our podcast, but we will promote our own book on our podcast. It's called Reaching the One. You should get a copy. You can go over to Amazon right now. You can just search Jason Hamrock or Bart Blair or Reaching the One, or you can check the show notes for this podcast episode and we'll include that. But hey, if you're planning to attend our conference in September, get registered. Go over to churchcommunications.com. You'll find all the information about the conference there. We'll also include that in the show notes. And if you're going to come to the conference, don't bother buying a book because we're going to give you one. Unless you just can't wait. Unless you just you need to read it now and you can't wait until September, then go ahead and buy one. But it's available in paperback and in Kindle format. And Jason, thanks for hanging out with me today. This has been a long episode, but hopefully it has been helpful. I just have a real heart for all these comms directors that I know are just, they're working so hard and want to do so much and do so well, but it can sometimes be a thankless job. So for those of you who feel like you haven't been thanked lately, thank you. And if you're listening to this podcast, thank you. Thank you for listening to our show. We're grateful that you hung out with us on another episode. If you haven't yet subscribed, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, be sure that you do that so that you don't miss future episodes. And if you're watching on our YouTube channel, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And as they always say, all those podcast people, ring the bell so you get notified when future episodes are dropped. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is a production of Missional Marketing. Our goal is to help churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. For more information, visit our website at missionalmarketing.com.